Hi, and welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and Dr. Henry Cloud is joining me, along with a special guest, Richard Watts. And we're going to give you some free stuff today. I don't know why you listen, but if you like free stuff, stay tuned for New Life Live and come join us, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be talking about money and wealth and how do you make it work or not.
My husband and I have been married for a year.
Is there a Christian or biblical therapy for OCD?
At that time, I'd just gotten out of jail for domestic violence. I smacked her pretty hard this last time. And
so what are you going to do?
One of the largest struggles that we face in relationships is allowing you or you to be different than me.
I'll say it this way. It is devastating in a redemptive way.
What that does is it makes you an adult responsible for the choice that you're making.
I am such a jerk. And do so many crummy things and make so many, and they can vouch for it. You know, somebody show me something that makes more sense than we can't make it. Jesus did it for us. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. And as I mentioned, in the studio today with me in Laguna Beach, Dr. Henry Cloud. Hey, Henry.
Hey, Stevie.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You have been traveling all over the country. Do your children recognize you?
They have a wanted poster.
That's good.
If you've seen
this
person.
It
is totally, it's been a totally crazy fall. A bunch of stuff that I was involved in just all happened to come together at once, and I was on the road way past my budgeted time away, and so it's been a hard fall.
Yeah,
I'll just say
that
happens.
Well, I tell you, I sure, as I was saying yesterday on the program, your children have grown up without me being aware of it, and it is just amazing how old they are, and you know, time marches on. I tell you, you just turn around, and
I can't believe. And I know all parents can identify with this. I mean, you blink, right, and they're another person. But the stuff that can, mine are 9 and 11.
Yeah,
and I'm just amazed at like what kind of like now I'm having these, you know, real conversations with adults, it feels like, but the stuff that comes out of their mouth. Lucy, my little one,
mm-hmm.
we were sitting around at breakfast one morning, and somehow the girls got to talking about boys at school,
yeah.
And so I said, so what kind of guys do you think you want to marry? And my 9-year-old says, well, I know what I don't want. I said, really? What? She goes, I don't want a guy who's 40 and lives on his mother's couch.
That's a.
I said, Lucy, good start.
Good start.
But it's funny how big they get all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Solomon's 5, and yesterday we were walking out the door. Day before yesterday.
I cannot believe he's 5.
Yeah. Well, we were walking out the door, and we didn't have our jackets on. We were going to church early, and Misty said, do you guys need jackets? I opened the door. I said, no, it's not that cool. And Solomon says, besides, Mom, we're men. So he got it. Well, also joining us today is the author of a book called Fables of Fortune, What Rich People Have That You Don't Want. And it is by Richard Watts. Richard, welcome.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you.
One of the things that you talk about in this book, and by the way, if you have a question that relates to finances and money, this is a money manager. He's an attorney. He won't be giving legal advice, but he won't be giving illegal advice either today. But he said it's not who has the most, it's who needs the least that are the wealthy among us. And that really shows that the focus isn't money being the bad thing. It's the way people handle the money and letting a little bit of money cause a little more need and then a lot of money causing a lot of needs.
That's true.
And we'll talk about that when we come back from this break. And it's a great little book. I read this book the other day, and there's some wonderful stories. We'll talk about some of those. But we're also going to talk about how you can avoid letting wealth be a bad thing versus wealth being a good thing. You know, I've always said that the gift of giving is also the gift of getting. God blesses certain people with a lot, not so that they can have every luxury available, but He wants them to give and to share and to do His work, just like He does with us, no matter what we make. We'll be back right after this for New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. We got some focus on wealth and problems and money conflicts and all of that. The author of Fables of Fortune, Richard Watts, is on with us. Before we go to that, though, I want to bring on Jason Martinkus from Every Man's Battle. And the reason we're talking with Jason today is if you are in the local area, if you're in the Los Angeles area, tonight at 11 o'clock, you're going to see part one of a an Every Man's Battle feature. And Jason is interviewed there. And Jason, I saw the interview and the men being filmed, and it's a very intimate story tonight on at 11, and then tomorrow night at 5. How did those men get so open and were willing to have cameras come in to there? I think the feature is called The Secret Addiction of America. How did that happen? I mean, they were so willing to talk.
Boy, it was a little tentative, actually, you know, to get that set up and get going, but you know what guys find at Every Man's Battle? I say this all the time. It's the safest place on the planet. And for a lot of guys to come in there, they start to dismantle the shame, dismantle the guilt, and they start to realize, hey, if this message can get out, this message of hope can reach some other people, then we want to do that. So guys, basically they said, look, we're happy to get the word out. We're happy to be a part of that.
Yeah. Well, they had to vote whether or not to let cameras in, and those guys said, yeah, let's do it. Now, their faces are covered up and all that kind of stuff, or at least most everybody is. But it's a great feature, and I wanted to have you on just to remind everybody, if you're in the Los Angeles area at 11 p.m. tonight, 5 p.m. tomorrow night, KNBC Channel 4, and at 7 o'clock, there's a digital channel. If you don't have cable, it's 4.2, and I'll be on that doing a little interview tonight also. But, Jason, when's the next Every Man's Battle workshop?
We're coming up next month for our last one of the year. I think we're going to be in San Jose for that. And we're going to have a good time at that one as well, just like this last weekend. We had about 50 guys there.
Mm-hmm.
We had some amazing life changes. I had one guy come up to me at the end of the workshop, and he said, you know what I'm about to do? I'm about to go home, and I'm going to go cry with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, cry with your wife? What do you mean? And he said, for years she's been crying alone, and I finally realized that what she needs is for me to cry with her.
Wow.
Man, isn't that powerful?
That's very powerful. That's very powerful. I'll tell you something else powerful. When I was speaking to our alumni with you down in San Diego, I said, how many of you believe that pornography has negatively impacted your ability to have sex with your wife? Everybody said it had.
100%.
Yeah, and that's the thing that Hugh Hefner forgot to tell everybody. That the more pornography that you use, the less you're able to do a good job with a real live woman. It neuters you, really.
It absolutely does. Yeah, the ability to connect intimately, deeply, emotionally, spiritually, all of that gets hijacked whenever we engage this stuff.
Yeah. Well, when people understand that, it solves some mysteries. Well, Jason, thanks for joining us. We'll see you on television tonight. Anybody else can get that on the web, knbc.com. You could get that, and you could watch it. But thank you, Jason, for all you do, for all the men and women who are affected by America's secret addiction.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Okay, let's talk with Richard Watts here. Richard, I want to ask you a question. What are one of those problems that wealthy people, or some wealthy people have, many wealthy people, you could say, that we don't want to have?
Well, I think originally the reason I wrote this book is because there are so many people out there, the majority of people, that believe that having a little bit more, just a little bit more income, a little bit more wealth will help them be happier.
Yeah.
And people spend a lifetime accumulating wealth. And one of the things that happens that that is really a difficult thing for the wealthy families is their children come up underneath them. They really don't have the earning desire because the parents begin to entitle them by giving them money early.
Yeah.
They take away a lot of the earning type events like an automobile, like going out and earning money for the first down payment of their home, that sort of thing. And all of a sudden, they don't understand why, but after a short period of time, their kids have derailed where their expectations are.
Yeah,
that someone is going to always take away the struggle.
Okay, so you could say that one of the problems is raising your kids, they might have a sense of entitlement that would cause them to abandon the work ethic. And I got to tell you, Henry, when I meet with a guy and his dad's wealthy and he's not doing much, I have no respect for that person. But I really double dog respect the young person who has a wealthy family who has gone out there and worked. I think they've had to work through a lot of stuff to develop that work ethic, and I really respect them for not rolling over, playing dead, and waiting for the trust to come in. Now, one of the things that we talk about here is the blessed life and the fact that when you give, I mean, that's where you really experience life at its best. A lot of wealthy people do quite a bit of philanthropy. Do you find them, I mean, it's for nonprofit, not necessarily a Christian organization or a ministry, but do you find that that brings meaning and value to them or not?
Yes. I think that what happens is that wealthy people, when they take this journey and they work through a lifetime of accumulating wealth, at some point they begin to realize having $10 million did so much for them. Then getting $50 million, which was their next target, didn't really return as much as the extra effort that was put out in order to obtain that additional wealth.
Yeah.
Finally, you get to $100 million, and you realize you're getting no return on the additional money, and they're looking for something to satisfy.
Well, I saw some research done on how much money makes you happy, and the number is $72,000. That, in other words, they're saying that the maximum amount you got an article that says $75,000. Well, it's pretty close.
It's inflation.
Inflation. But anyway, so like if you're making 50, keep going, you can get a little more happiness. But when you get to 75, they're saying, well, that's about the level at which money doesn't do a lot more for you to make you happy.
Now, was that research in the U.S.? Is that what that is?
Yes, that was a Time Magazine October article.
When I wrote The Law of Happiness, one of the things that all of the happiness research shows, because I spent, a few years deep in the weeds in that research, and not just in the U.S., but around the world, because they've done gazillions of studies, and what they find is that basically only 10% of anybody's happiness comes from anything circumstantial, one of those being whether I get more money or not. And there's a threshold that the research found that basically, when you have hit a level where your basic needs are taken care of, you got a roof over your head and et cetera, et cetera.
Like about $75,000 worth, basic needs in America.
Past that, it does not have an effect on happiness.
Right.
On well-being.
Yeah.
And the seduction is that, and I was going to ask you, when you say wealthy, like, give me a number. Like, what is that? Because it's so relative, in different places in the dynamics that you're talking about. I think everybody can relate to the enabling of children, and it, basically wealthy is kind of probably in our discussion in one way, it's more than you need so that you have something more than you need to do life with that you can either do good things or bad things with, right?
Right. I think that, the experiment that happens in my practice is that we put a lot of – when you put a lot of wealth to a family, these situations that are maybe more minor, not quite as explicit in lesser families, people that don't have the wealth, maybe somebody that's worth $500,000 or something like that, when you put $100 million to it, you begin to see this fray, this not fray everywhere. So you really do get the opportunity to see what happens. It does apply all the way down to people that are making more than $75,000. Our kids can get entitled with
we
little
get
over $75,000.
Lots of calls like that, you know, with, with the 30-year-old who, like my daughter said, lives on the mother's couch, you know, because they've been enabled since early on.
And your response when a parent calls and says, you know, my son has a car. He's driving while intoxicated. We've bailed him out of jail.
Right.
He's living at home on the couch, and he's doing drugs. And I've never seen a kid with so many problems. And then your response is, well, I don't think he has any problems. You have a problem. But
he's got everything in life.
He's,
you know,
doing the deal about his...
See, and so the person that is sitting on the sideline watching the wealthy person bail their child out of jail sees a kid that basically didn't have to go through the pain, what you really see, what's unfortunate, and I've seen this many times, is the parent will actually say, I want to go hire the most expensive lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get that person off.
Yeah.
Now, they've done something wrong, but they say, I want to get them off. And the interesting thing, and here's where the entitlement comes, is that that child or young adult, when they get off, what you hear out of them is, well, it was the way the cop arrested me that didn't stick, so I really never was guilty in the first place.
Well, I tell you, I have a friend that is a wealthy comedian, and he called me. His boy was in jail for drunk driving, and he had just written the check and handed it to the guy to bail him out. And he called and said, man, I hadn't heard from him in years. He said, I am low as I can be here. And I said, get that check back. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, get the check back. And this had happened in another town about 6 hours from where he lived. Get the check back and tell your son you're going home and you'll be back in about 10 days. And he did it. And now every year on his son's sobriety anniversary, he calls me and says, got another year under our belt. Mm-hmm. But that is an example of he went down there to take care of business, bail him out, then get him off, but he let him stay in jail for 10 days and it changed that kid's life. It really did. So anyway, it's important that we know all that. Now, $75,000, if you're making $150,000, keep 75. That makes you – give us the other 75.
There you go.
And that'll make you even more happy.
Back to the point about what wealth is. For our discussion and in the book, how do you define it? What is wealth?
Well, again, in my book, I describe the super wealthy. And the super wealthy by Forbes is defined as anybody over $30 million net worth. In my particular practice, I would say my clientele has an average net worth of around $100 million. So we're dealing with that level of family – and manage and see everything that they do on a daily basis.
That's a lot of money. I mean, you know, you start talking $100 million, you're getting up there. That's a lot of money.
And the interesting
thing, year's work.
It's not a year's work. I'm talking about a net worth, which means your accumulated wealth.
Right, accumulated.
These people may make, some of them make 10, 15, 20 million a year.
Yeah.
But their accumulated wealth would be in excess of $100 million.
I tell you, if we can just get one of those people to tithe, we do not have any more money problems at all. 1-800-229-3000. Let's talk with Susan from Denver, Colorado, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hello there, Susan.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. How can we help you today?
I am recently divorced, and in the divorce settlement, I received my ex-husband's entire retirement package.
Well, good for you. You must have had a good attorney.
Well, that's not all of the story.
Oh, yeah, she didn't say what the husband walked away with.
Anyway, the amount that my ex-husband was quoted for the retirement was substantially larger than what the company is quoting me. The ex-husband is now, I think when he was getting the amount quoted to him, he was 61 years old, and I am 58. So the company will not discuss with me any of the calculations.
Well, you're going to have to get an attorney then. You just have to get an attorney to see who's right and what can be done. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Susan. Thanks for calling us. Yeah, that's pretty simple. I mean, we just can't give out legal advice. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. Let me tell you something. This is a book of stories about the super wealthy. And the first 100 people call, I'm going to give you a free copy of this book. You just call us and say, I want Fables of Fortune by Richard Watts, or say Watts or Richard or Fables or Fortune. And this is what rich people have that you don't want. We'll get a copy of that. We're going to do two other programs after this. We'll be in the studio for 3 hours today, so you can join us, 1-800-229-3000. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. We're going to go right back to the phone, 1-800-229-3000. As I said, two more programs after this. And in those programs, we'll talk about a lot of things, including surviving the holidays with your family. That'll be next hour. But let's go to Kay from Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Hi, Kay.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. I called because I wanted to comment on Every Man's Battle this past weekend, and I found out you're talking about finances. So I'm trying to tie this in together.
How much money did he spend
all,
on his sexual addiction?
There you go.
Pardon?
I'm sorry, I interrupted. I was saying, yeah, so maybe your question would be, how much did he spend on his sexual addiction?
Well, but it wasn't necessarily financial because it was internet porn.
Okay.
So I locked the internet down. But I just first want to thank you very much for dumping my old husband and sending me a new husband.
Really? What was so different about him from before and then after he went to Every Man's Battle?
Well, I think the before was when I busted him about 8 weeks ago, and I think the relief he felt of being discovered, he was finally going to be set free from something that had him locked up in a cage for 40 years.
Yeah, you know, I hear that all the time, and I've actually been in on interventions where you could see an alcoholic just kind of breathed this sigh of relief. They knew it was going to end somewhere.
Yep.
They didn't know if it was going to be in headlines or death or whatever. And they kind of get the sense, okay, so this had to stop. This is where it's going to stop. And they're okay with it.
Well, and I think that's what happened. And what where he has wasted money is in his time. You know, we say time is money. And in alcohol, I think the consumption of alcohol increased dramatically over the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the entire part of our marriage that has just gotten more and more difficult to deal with. The lack of communication, intimacy is virtually none, or was. And
what's it like now? Now that he's gone to EMB, what's it like?
He's so soft and tender, and
it's cool.
It's just I don't know him yet. It's like I really, it's almost like having a boyfriend for the first time. It's, you know, kind of, not euphoric, but I'm a little suspicious sometimes. But
sure.
Having read Every Heart Restored, I'm in the middle of reading that. It's been very helpful. I'm so grateful for you guys stepping up to the plate because this is the stuff nobody wants to talk about.
Yeah.
And in all the counseling we've been to, it's always my fault.
Really?
And of course, and if you're in pornography, you're not honest. You don't tell people. How could you? You're
right.
In leadership at church, and so you don't disclose with your counselor, especially in front of your wife. And so we've lost money because the house has gone into disrepair because he's been consumed with pornography and all the effects of that, and the anger that consumed him as a result of the pornography. I'm convinced they're linked. I'm totally convinced that this moral decline has affected him in his health, in his ability to work and hold his job. What's really great is right after I busted him, he confessed, and he got the job he's been trying to get for 2 years.
There you are.
And so he's getting his life back.
Instant gratification right there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yes. And God, I mean, he loves God. He's a Boy Scout. He wants to do the right thing. And it's been very difficult, I imagine, for him struggling with this evil, you know, that what I want to do, I don't do, and I do what I don't want to do.
Well, that's what addiction is like.
Yeah, I can totally see that now, and a lot of light bulbs have gone on this weekend as I read the book, and I'm just grateful.
Thank you for thanking us.
Well, and one thing with, I understand your guest is Mr. Watts,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tables of Fortune. And I'm sure you've already said it, but what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And
that's
I'm thinking of losing it to pornography or any other addiction.
Yeah.
And it could be work. It could be anything. So, you know, it is a fable. Before, my husband's read a lot of books on fortune, so I look, you know, forward to reading that book.
I'll send it to you.
And appreciate everything you all do for marriages.
Appreciate you calling, Kay, and we'll send you a copy, free, Fables of Fortune. If anybody wants it, first 100 copies, callers will give away 100 copies of Fables of Fortune. We're also giving away something else free if you're a first-time supporter today. If you give today, first time, we'll send you Walking Into Walls. Let's go to Gene from Piasta, Iowa, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hi, Gene.
Hi.
How's it going?
Oh, driving down the road in the semi right now. So.
Oh, one of our trucker
we're
friends.
Working hard.
Yeah. All right. Where are you headed?
Heading back for home.
Where is that now? That's in Iowa?
I'm actually down in Oklahoma at the moment, heading toward home in Iowa. So.
How long have you been gone?
Huh?
How long have you been gone?
I left yesterday at about 2:30 in the afternoon. I drive with another driver, and so he drives part of it, and I drive part of it. And we get home that much sooner. So.
That's pretty cool. That's a good system. Well, how could we help you today?
Well, I've got an issue. Been dealing with my wife and trying to come to agreements on how to handle the family budget and come to agreements so that we actually have money saved up, so that, 'cause with my job, sometimes it's a good paycheck, sometimes it's a bad paycheck, and to have money set aside so when the bad checks show up,
mm-hmm.
we've got something to live on.
Okay, so you want to know how to get her on board with you there.
Get her on board, and she has a real seems, or at least in my view, my estimation, she has a spending problem in that she wants a lot of nice things, and when there's extra money, she wants to get all of it instead of save some up and have some for that rainy day when it gets there.
I'm going to have a tough question for you when we come back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We've got Richard Watts as our guest here. Fables of Fortune is a book he wrote, and if you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, we'll send you a free copy if you want it. If you're a first-time giver, you'll get this book and Walking Into Walls. We need your support. It's getting close to year-end. We're about halfway through this month, and we're about halfway through what we need to raise to stay on the air. So things are good, but don't give up on us here in the second half. Now, Gene, let me just ask you a quick, tough question, okay?
Yeah.
If I was talking to your wife, what would she say you need to get on board with? You say she needs to get on board with finances. What would she say you need to get on board with?
Having some fun in life instead of being so determined to pay off bills and debt so that I can enjoy life later without having any kind of regrets about spending money somewhere when I could have paid off a bill or could have paid off a debt. Because 6 months after we got married, she had a heart attack and triple bypass surgery, and we got swamped under medical bills. Well, I was determined, get them paid.
All right.
Instead of having a little bit of fun, a little bit of enjoyment, taking some pressure off by living a little, I guess, outside of paying all the bills off.
Okay, so let's ask Richard and Henry from personal experience or from training or whatever. What is the best way for a couple to get on board with each other when it comes to that difficult area of finances? Richard, you have a thought?
Yeah. You know, this just happened yesterday, as a matter of fact, that... we are on different pages than our wives oftentimes, and someone asked me to ask my wife yesterday the question of what are your dreams? And then just to be quiet and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing to me to see my wife break into tears yesterday as maybe for the first time in 32 years of marriage, I listened to what her dreams were.
Wow.
And then I asked, what are your fears? And we discussed those. And then she asked that question of me. And I think we communicated on a level it was hard for me to believe we were doing this for the first time. And then she asked, what are your fears? And kind of like Gene, I empathize with you. I'm the pragmatic guy that would rather put the $100 extra to my mortgage so that it gets paid off, only to find out that maybe by the time I get to a place where I can use my money, I'm too old to enjoy it, maybe. But my wife's dreams included a lot of beautiful thoughts and things that maybe I needed to listen to as well. Mm. And so I think that is part of this equation, is not just saying, I want you to abide by my budget, but I won't abide by yours.
Yeah. Henry, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'd say two things. Usually, whether it's money or sex or kids or whatever the issue is, that should be the second thing I think that couples should talk about. Because the first thing they got to talk about is how well they feel like their oneness is going, you know, how connected they are and how much they feel understood by the other. Because if you can't get on the same page about your hearts and know that you are for one another and that there is a we here that's bigger than the you or the me, then the individual topics are going to, you know, just do their own division to bring out the division that's already there. So I try to get them to work on their connection and their care and their love for one another first. Having said that, in my experience, in working with a lot of super wealthy families and a lot of families that don't have a lot, and watching families that don't have a lot go through the arc to not having a lot to becoming super wealthy as well, what I find is that it's kind of the same formula all along the way, that if you see people who are learning their giving when they hardly have anything, then, like the Bible says, you know, that everybody should tithe or however you look at that, and they don't have a lot of money, and they're giving out the little they have, what happens is, as they get super wealthy, they tend to continue to give. It's the people that early on say, well, when I get a lot of money, I'll start to give.
Right.
That are always kicking the can down the road of the character development and the deeper stuff. And I think it's really important for couples early on not thinking about how much they have, but to think about the pie, like you're saying, Richard, of a balanced way, that whatever the number is, that their life is going to be about, that money serves purposes. So there's going to be, you know, some percentage that goes to our security, some percentage that goes to the future, some percentage that goes to, you know, some entertainment and fun along the way. And sometimes the zeros start to increase on that, but the balanced life has been something that they've had in place since they were 25.
There you go.
And then they tend to not go crazy when they get it all.
Right.
And Henry, I would add to that, too, that if in Gene's particular case, a lot of times you think of investments as money just hoarded, money that's accumulated. Mm-hmm. And I often try to think of investing in memories. To invest in memories as a husband and wife is to actually look at our future and to say, what could I do now? What could I invest in now, be it a trip, be it an activity? What could I invest in now that would have meaning for me from now on? I could look back and that money was spent and there's this history of meaning and substance to what I did with that money.
Which was your point about your wife. Right? That there is a certain amount you need to have that you're saving for the future, but you also saw that you needed to invest in her dreams and that a balanced way of looking at life was, it's sort of like a diet. You know, people, when they try to do the starvation thing, they're not going to continue it long term. They've got to have a few things that taste good along the way in order to sustain the long term way. So the balance is really important.
Well, I'm not recommending this, but if you want your wife on your team financially, marry my wife. I mean, I'm just astounded at how in this thing, our oneness is strong, like you were saying, but I've never seen anybody that's so quit laughing, Henry, cooperative.
I'm thinking about
other times.
Is the paraphrase, Steve's paraphrase of Proverbs 31, a frugal wife, who can find?
Right. Who can find one? I found one. Let's go to Carolyn from Fort Worth, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi. I'll try to make this quick. Thank you so much for Every Man's Battle. It saved our marriage.
You're welcome. Thanks for thanking.
I am a dentist. I'm a professional. I'm a dentist. And I have other friends that, like myself, who we have sort of spoiled our kids. We put them in private Christian schools. and they go and they're absolutely spoiled and don't mind telling you that, well, you spoiled me when you tell them it's time for you to get a job this summer. And you invest all this money in their Christian education, and you just wonder where the balance is on all of it. I mean, most of them don't want to be doctors, not that they have to be doctors, but they don't even want to go to college because they've been given BMWs. And I didn't do this to my son, but they've been given BMWs, so they don't have any desire or reason to go. They already have everything.
Okay, you're teeing it up for Richard over here. He's salivating.
So what's the question for Richard then?
So where is the balance on all that? Where is the balance on the investment in the Christian education? Because a lot of them, as you know, turn from that.
Right.
There's got to be a good balance. Well, you want them to keep their grades up.
Yeah, I want to say, before Richard answers, the balance is somewhere below the BMW. I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere under that BMW. Okay, so what do you think? Where's the balance?
Well, first of all, I would say that the investment in the Christian education, from my perspective, which we did with our children, is a plus.
Okay, thank you.
I think that...
That's not the problem.
Yeah, I think that sets a structure that they will return to. And I think every one of my kids through the college years after a Christian education derailed for a period of time, but one by one have returned very solidly to their faith.
There you go.
So I think that's a real important thing. I think the part that parents really forget here is that the concept that for everything you give your child, you're taking something away. And the responsibility is on the parent, not necessarily not to give it, but at least to identify what it is that you may be taking away. So when you're giving a child a BMW, which people think is what most parents think is, you know, I'm helping this person not struggle. And what they're really taking away is not only are they taking away a lot of the responsibilities of managing money, accumulating money, mm-hmm. investing the money wisely in a car rather than a BMW, a new car.
But delay of gratification.
But what they're also doing is they're putting that child in a high school or a college environment where the other kids that are more normal maybe don't like those kids. I mean, what parent would intentionally put their child into a position where other kids don't like them because they have more than they do?
Okay, now I don't want to alienate anybody that gave their child a BMW, but I believe the other motive for that is so the parent will look good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the competition for most generous, most successful parent, if my child's driving a BMW, look how successful that makes me look.
Mm-hmm. True.
And I think another motivation is that the parent is looking too hard to be liked by the child. You know, they're trying to buy their love.
You betcha.
And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is when it's talking about one of David's sons who went crazy. It said that David had not vexed him enough in his growing up years. And it is the job of a parent to vex your kids. You know, you got to be the bad guy and you got to say no. And that's a very, very important part of parenting.
Affection and evection. Both.
Evection. Sometimes eviction.
Final segment after this on New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Final caller is Yvette, but we're going to be in the studio 2 hours after that. Dr. Cloud and I will be here. Your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. Yvette from San Antonio, Texas, Sirius Satellite Radio. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And thank you for the blessing that you are. And I have a question about our finances. My husband is an attorney here, and he has had a very blessed career, and God has given him just, you know, cases from above that have changed our lives dramatically. Mm. And we are very faithful tithers above and beyond what we're called to do.
Does he listen to the program?
And, I'm sorry?
Does he listen to the program?
No.
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 Bummer.
This is my question.
Okay, what's your question?
He has a different philosophy than I do. He says, I'm going to tithe based on my net over the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets in multiple cases all the time, and so he has his staff, and he has offices in a couple of cities, and so he has his staff that he pays for all the expenses that go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
So he says at the end of the year, whatever my net is, I'm going to tithe on that. And I've kind of have a different philosophy, and I want you to guide me on this because I'm trying to honor him. And so I pray about it, and I say, God, you know, you're going to just take care of him. You will send the Holy Spirit to him. But I want to be able to be a guiding wife also and not a nagging wife. And so my philosophy was, and I've presented to him in a prayerful way, but I said, every case that you get is a case given to you from God.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of those cases comes to you from God's mercy. And if you could please tithe on when a case is successful and you've received payment on that, can you please take our tithe out of that and put it aside,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what your expenses are, whatever it is, because you wouldn't have that case if it wasn't from God.
Okay,
and so
all right, I think we get it.
Okay.
So, Richard, Henry, what do you guys think about?
Well, we have an attorney here who has to manage a caseload and cash flow,
yep.
and expenses.
What do you think about that practice?
I was hoping you wouldn't direct the attention to me on
that, okay.
because I certainly understand it, and I think I have an answer for you that will be probably unique from what you may have heard, because I put this into practice myself. You know, it's difficult, okay. Yvette, to sometimes with you know, I'm sure your husband probably built his own practice. He's gone from zero,
yes.
to where he is now. So he knows
negative, gone from, yeah.
Okay, even more so.
Yeah.
Even more so. The struggle's,
yes.
been even a longer rags to riches story.
Yes. Yes.
But
yes.
you get to a place where if you know where it's where you've been and what it's like to have not,
yes.
oftentimes when you have, it's a scary place. It's hard to let go of the grasp. And the definition of what tithing is really something that amongst your family you have to decide between the two of you. But I'll give you a unique tool that might help. Suggest to your husband that he form for about $2,000 or $3,000 your own family foundation.
Okay, your own family foundation.
Your own family foundation. That would be your last name,
uh-huh.
family foundation. So now you've got this thing that's like a little corporation that you own. And tell your husband, say, I tell you what, we'll go ahead and tithe as we're tithing, but that extra money that Yvette wants to put away, let's give that to our own family foundation. It's a deduction for him. It's a tax deduction. You still maintain control of that money, but here's the trigger. Once it's in the foundation, Yvette, you can only give it away. So you begin to build that family foundation. Your husband's now got that out of his grasp. It's now in that family foundation, be it $10,000 or $100,000 or $1 million. And now you get to look around and start to find places to put it. And he can't really retrieve it back. And frankly, it's kind of like taking those white knuckles that are around that money and pulling those back softly and letting that grasp go a little bit.
Okay. The people you work with often do give at the end of the year. Is that right?
Yes.
They do. I mean, if you have a business, sometimes you don't really know what you've made until the end of the year.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. So, but which brings us up to where we are now. I mean, year-end giving is starting now, and we are halfway there in November where we need to be, and we have to raise another $100,000 at the end of November. And here's what we're going to do. We had over 1,000 new givers last month, Henry. I don't know of any month we've ever had over 1,000 new givers. And if you have never supported this ministry, we're going to send you free, if you support us today, no matter what size the gift, $5, $50, $500, you name it, we'll send you Walking Into Walls, hardcover, absolutely free, no charge to you, if you support us for the first time. Anybody that calls, whether you support us or not, we will give you a copy, first 100, of Richard's book, Fables of Fortune, Richard Watts, What Rich People Have That You Don't Want. And I would add another subtitle, What Rich People Have That You Don't Want and You Don't Ever Have to Have Either. You don't have to have a child that's lazy and doesn't produce. You can have a child that understands the value of money, even if there's $100 million stored somewhere. That's what we want to see. But we've often seen people with money do the right thing. And that's what I love to see, is where somebody is, you know, we talk about, I remember Bill Hybels talking about some of the guys that work with him, reverse tithers. Mm-hmm. They're traders, and they keep 10% and they give away 90%.
Rick Warren's a reverse tither.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
It's a pretty cool thing.
You know, if you want to see what Richard's talking about here, just the next time you're at the grocery store, just look at the tabloids, right?
Yeah.
It's all the train wreck lives of the Hollywood stars. You know, they're in and out of rehab and just all this stuff, and they, you know, they have more money than a gazillion people all piled up at once.
No, it's proof that what we're saying is true.
Solomon experienced the same thing. Yeah. He talked about this.
I often think of it like goldfish. You know, when you feed goldfish in a bowl, they just keep eating. And money is kind of like that. If you don't know how to use it, what to do with it, you keep feeding it, it just keeps coming, you just keep eating it. And eventually the goldfish dies because it overeats and doesn't know any better. And that's kind of what happens.
Mm. Well, I hope something we've said has been insightful to you. No matter what level we're at, money is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be generous. It's an opportunity to be responsible. It's an opportunity to really destroy our lives, too. So we have to make choices based on our values and the character that we have. But I would say if anything comes from this, you need to rethink what you're doing for your kids and the price that they're going to have to pay for that. Any child that gets everything handed on a silver platter, that's a pretty tough thing. I remember I used to be excited about a BMW, and now, you know, at my age, just a BM is something that excites me. And I think we got to get to that level where it's the basic things of life that get us excited, not just the material things. If you could help us, if you could help us, we would
you
be
never. Cease to surprise me.
If you could help us, we would love for you to get a copy of Richard's book, Fables of Fortune. If you're a first-time giver, we'll send you Walking Into Walls. We sure need your help. And the Lord loves a cheerful giver. It's just, if it makes you feel great to hear somebody like we heard today say, thanks for taking that old husband and giving me the new one back. If that is something that makes you joyful in your life, support us here at New Life. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to the website, newlife.com. And don't forget to catch us tonight, 11 o'clock, KNBC, Channel 4, here in the L.A. area, talking about America's secret addiction, Every Man's Battle. Our program is going to be featured. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.